This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Powered by Insperity.
Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Will Docker and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps.
All right, ready to roll on a Saturday morning. Thanks to our friends at Insperity. Visit Insperity.com for powerful HR solution with exceptional follow-through. You can also get your questions in via X at ESPN 975. A lot to do on a Saturday morning with the Tour Championship, 36 holes in at Eastlake, where the winner will be awarded $25 million tomorrow.
How much?
It's a lot of money, Charlie. $25 million to the winner. And then
It's a golf tournament. Yeah. In the NBA.
And then if you combine that, let's say Scheffler wins. Yes. So he gets $25 million, winning the tournament, winning the FedEx Cup championship. I mean, not to get into the money, but what comes after that as far as endorsements and, you know, the fact that he'd be the first to seven wins since Tiger Woods in 2007. A lot on the line. That's a lot of money they're playing for it.
You think he's going to retire?
No.
Be with his family?
He's got a long way to go. I think there's nothing stopping him from asserting dominance for the next 10 years. Obviously, he wants to be a family man. Scheffler does. We've seen Rahm, you know, John Rahm. We thought nothing would stop him. You know, things have changed a little bit for him since he joined LIV. But I think Scheffler's a different kind of world number one. He's the world number one that everyone's been looking for. A lot of humbleness, a lot of grace in the way that he wins.
He's a homeboy.
Yeah, now he is. Raise your mic up a little bit for me, Charlie.
Mic. Okay, I got no ears. I got a mic. I'm having a heck of a morning.
So, Charlie, as far as the FedEx Cup playoffs, you know, it started with a staggered start leaderboard. And I thought Scheffler gave some good comments on that earlier this week. I think there's been a lot of questions around the fact that Scheffler starts at 10 under, Xander Schauffele starts at 8 under, and so on. But we saw last week with Keegan Bradley, you know, Keegan started last week's BMW Championship in 50th place on the FedEx Cup standings. He was the last man in. And then he wins the BMW and moves to fourth on the FedEx Cup money list. And I think a lot of people are kind of sitting there going, how do you finish the regular season 50th to 60th, and then all of a sudden, three tournaments later at the Tour Championship, you have a chance to take home the season-ending $25 million. Does that sound okay to you?
You always have a chance. And the rewards for a full season in golf, they determined to play it this way. And they've massaged it just a little. But sure, Scott is dominating this year. So he starts off a little ahead of everybody. And, you know, a money game, you go out to Memorial Park, I'll give you two aside. I'll give you four aside.
Yeah.
You know, he's getting some reward for a great, great season. Is it right? I don't know. It's exciting as heck. It's controversial. It gets people talking. Nothing is perfect. And in golf is a game of execution, and he's playing really lights out in Atlanta. And the end of the season is really exciting, and we're going to see who's the champion Sunday. And his buddy behind him is playing his butt off, and he could still catch him.
Yeah, both Schauffele. Xander Schauffele, world number two Xander Schauffele, and Colin Morikawa had great days yesterday. Morikawa 63, still, you know, Scheffler started 66-65, two incredible rounds at this new Eastlake. We'll talk about the Andrew Green design. Morikawa shot 63 yesterday. Xander Schauffele shot 64. They are still in contention. But I do think this is the best possible format as far as, number one, getting the star players on top of the leaderboard. You know, of course, it's week one of college football. It's week two of NFL. You need your stars on top. But number two, I think what we've seen Keegan Bradley do really shows how the PGA Tour playoffs compares to other sports' playoffs. You know, you give an example, the Houston Astros in 2005. They got to the playoffs through the wild card. You know, they beat the Braves in 18 innings. They are considered probably the worst team that made it to the playoffs that year when you look at the regular season, and they still had a chance to bring home the World Series.
Who's led the Tour Championship into the champion round the last 2 years?
Scottie Scheffler.
Has he won?
He has not won.
Proves the point. Everybody just, you know, cinch him up and let's just hit, make as many birdies as you can, and who wins is determined by who plays the best.
Yeah. No, 2022 was Scottie's best chance to win at East Lake and ended up losing to Rory McIlroy. When you look at what's on the line this week, it's not only climbing up the FedEx Cup standings and getting a season-ending bonus, but you have a couple players trying to play their way on to the President's Cup, which is going to be in 3 weeks. Keegan Bradley moved to 19th to 10th on the President's Cup standings. As an assistant captain, how tough do you think Jim Furyk's going to take Keegan Bradley to be on that team?
Why not? The captain's pick was a way that you could pick the guy that's on the hot, that's playing the best. And Keegan Bradley is playing lights out. He's emotionally high. He's been named the Ryder Cup. He's proven that he could play. He's proven that he can win. So why not pick the guy that's hot?
Yeah. And you know, when you talk about the President's Cup, you know, it's going to be in Canada this year at Royal Montreal.
Yes.
Mike Weir's captaining the internationals, and you have quite a few Canadians who are probably going to make that team.
I think it's great. I mean, yeah. It's going to be an exciting tournament. The Canadians are great sports fanatics in hockey and in baseball and sure in golf. So it's going to be another fun week on the PGA and the World Golf Tour.
Yeah. No, the both teams. Top six on both teams were set this week. Hideki Matsuyama, Sung J.M., Adam Scott, Jason Day, Byung Han An will all be there for the internationals. And then on the American side, the top six names that are locked in there, Scottie Scheffler, Xander Schauffele, Colin Morikawa,
Wyndham Clark, Patrick Cantlay, and Sahith Theegala. So those names are set. The captain's picks is going to be interesting. You have Justin Thomas. You know, he was the last man in the field.
He doesn't deserve.
You don't think he's going?
If you got a Canadian, put him on the team. He's got home field advantage. Fill the bottom end with the Canadian players, and you're going to have one hell of a tournament. And maybe the international team can win. They're one for, what, 11?
Yeah, they have not won many times. Charlie, your guy, Angel Cabrera, competed on that international team
sure
quite a few
times.
Yes,
it was fun.
Did you make an appearance at any President's Cups in his day?
Yeah, at Jack's place in 2009. I mean, Jordan Spieth was there. It was wonderful. Angel played Mickelson and beat him, and he really enjoyed it. They didn't win the President's Cup, but it's a great, great tournament, and this is going to be even better.
Yeah, no, it's the team events this year have been just incredible. Yeah. As well, when you look back on 2023 at the Ryder Cup and then the Olympics this year, we're in for a very good tournament.
How about the Curtis Cup? It's going on.
Yeah, no, the Curtis Cup.
And Americans are tied with a team that they should be blindfolded.
Absolutely. No, so we're going to get to all the team tournaments you have coming up. You've got the Curtis Cup right now. You've got the Walker Cup in a few weeks. As far as East Lake, Scottie Scheffler leads the way at 21 under par, started with rounds of 65, 66. You know, still has a four-shot lead, still looking like the favorite who's going to take it home. You know, Scheffler, like Charlie said, you know, he hasn't played great at East Lake over the years. Came into this week excited about hearing about the changes that Andrew Green made. We'll talk about that. Colin Morikawa in second at 17 under, Xander Schauffele in third at 16 under. After that, the nearest to the leaderboards, a group at 12 under. Sahith Theegala, Adam Scott, and Wyndham Clark all in a tie for fourth. So,
why don't you real quick tell the listeners why we were a little late getting on? One of our producers took ill and he had to be taken to the hospital. Correct?
Yeah, Guillermo, if you're in the hospital, we hope you get well soon. A little bit of a delay here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour. It's no sweat. We'll get you up to date here in the world of golf. A lot to do as far as the last tournament of the spring and summer season and the Tour Championship. We'll get you on your way here. This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour presented by Insperity HR that makes a difference. Back after this.
ESPN 97.5. The Charlie Epps Golf Hour, powered by Insperity, continues
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Will Doctor and Charlie Epps.
Nice to have you aboard. World number one Scottie Scheffler leading the way there at Eastlake, the Tour Championship, 21 under total. Coming off rounds of 65-66, has a big four-shot lead going into the weekend. Charlie, this golf course, Eastlake, 1913 Donald Ross design, it has evolved over the years. And then Andrew Green, a great architect, came in and tried to design it the way Mr. Ross did in 1913, expanding the greens a little bit, bringing some of the bunkers into the fairways. You've been to Eastlake a bunch. Did this golf course need those updates?
Yes, everything has a need for quality of grass. This being the home of the Tour Championship, the home of Bob Jones, Mr. Cousin, who's just an incredible philanthropist, and he wants to make more money for his charities and all that. It makes for a better product. It didn't seem to really bother the players too much. You know, everybody's under par except one guy.
Yeah.
I mean, the greens were absolutely perfect, and they're doing some chipping in, but it's not unplayable. And there was no weather, except they had a little rain shower yesterday afternoon. Yeah. There's no wind. These greens and fairways with wind are going to play a lot different. And they're going to run off, and the course will play tighter. But anytime, it takes, when you do a redo like this, it takes about 3 years, three seasons, to really get the grass and the cuttings where you want them.
Yeah, that's what Rory McIlroy said after his round yesterday. He said, the course looks fantastic, but probably 6 months away from seeing all that grass really grow in. Yeah. Charlie, they Eastlake switched all of their grass, the majority of their grass from Bermuda to Zoysia. They left the Bermuda on the greens and in the rough, but the rest of the course, the runoffs, the fairways, moving to Zoysia. A lot of courses are doing that.
Well, it's because Zoysia has gotten so good, and Atlanta is a high city. It's about 3,000 feet, and so they get a little more cold weather than most people around that area because of their altitude. And then that grass, Zoysia will withstand a freeze better than Bermuda will. And with Bermuda, you got to overseed to protect it. So this is, not only is it good grass, but it makes sense to fight Mother Nature.
Let's take a question. We got a question here from Yusuf. Charlie, do you more often use a 60-degree wedge or a 9-iron for chip and runs around the green?
It just depends the conditions. The 60-degree wedge, the main reason for that is bounce. You got 8 to 10 degrees of bounce, which allows the club to get underneath the ball. It plays that way. But a club without less bounce, it can dig. So if it's really hard, you want to use less bounce. So you're going to use more of a chipping club to use it with the club face being closed. And with the bounce, you're going to use it open. And the bounce is better for the bunkers than it is for the surrounding, chipping areas.
Yeah. When you look at the guys who played well last week, Keegan Bradley, Tommy Fleetwood, a couple other guys had great. Billy Horschel had strong finishes at Castle Pines. looking at this week, you know, their short game numbers have declined a little bit, moving from the bank grass at Castle Pines to the Zoysia and Bermuda at Eastlake. How big of a change is that for the guys on tour week to week?
Well, they're actually trying to get this course modernized to where they don't have that unplayable rough around the greens, but you have areas where the ball will run off and down into certain playing areas, and that shot is very difficult. And as you can see, some of the guys use the putter from 30 yards off the green because of the tight lies and the bunkers not being in play. You can run the ball up on the green with off green putting with a putter.
Yeah. You could use the Texas wedge if you'd like. There's many different ways to go about the short game there at Eastlake.
Exactly right. Some guys will even use your utility club. Yeah. So, but
let's get to question number two here. Charlie, Sam Burns was talking yesterday. This is from Chase. Charlie, Sam Burns was talking yesterday about how the takeaway in his golf swing sets up everything else in his golf swing. What does he mean by that?
Well, it's just kind of like, you know, you get up in the morning, you're going to go to work, you back your car out. You know, you're backing the club away from the golf ball has got to be really very, very precise, because that's going to determine where it's going to sit up on top of the swing. If you take it back too far inside, it's going to be hard to make a cut. You take it back up and out, the arms get away from the body. So, you know, the takeaway sets the stage for the whole swing.
What you taught me, you know, through my time working with you, you know, my takeaway has gotten a little offbeat. You tell me to imagine there's a catcher's mitt set up right behind me, and that the head of that club needs to fall right into that catcher's mitt.
That's right. You want to take, you know, 8 to 10 inches straight off the ball to get the club going wide enough, and that you don't suck it back inside and get too far inside, and that causes a whole bunch of troubles for your downswing.
And too far outside, you know, what do you expect?
Picking
in that
it up,
case?
You go forward. So there's if you watch, you know, if you record all these great players, and you can watch how steady their head stays, where their left shoulder moves back, and it's always the same. It's sameness. It's boring. That's why they hit so many balls, 800-900 balls a day.
When you talk about the chipping and the short game and the takeaway, do you see more guys lean towards a little bit more of an outside takeaway from their chipping, or is it still straight back?
It depends the kind of shot you want, but if you want a high shot and a cut shot, you're going to take it back a little more outside and up. And if you want it to run it straighter and not with a lot of spin and so on, so you take it back a little more away from the ball. So it's all determines the angle that the club face comes in, the club face you're using. Are you leaning the shaft before bringing the shaft before the strike? And that's so important to get that crisp shot and hit a shot that's going to go 60, 70, 80 feet on the ground on these bigger greens.
Yeah. When you think about setup in the golf swing, Charlie, you know, I've been hearing a lot over the last, well, really, it's really a setup question. When you talk about starting over the ball at setup, when you talk about the hands, do they need to lean a little bit more forward? Are they neutral? Are they a little back at address?
Once again, depending what kind of shot you're playing, but it's very important to have ball location. If it's going to be a chip and run, a pitch and run, it's going to be more towards the back foot, and that's going to place the hands a little forward. And at the strike, you want the hands leading the shaft, leading the club, so you can have a downward motion and a very short follow through, and that will get the ball started straight without any side spin. You get a lot of side spin out of a bunker because that's just the way you play that shot most of the time. I'm not saying all the time, but the chip and pitch is more, you know, you don't want a lot of spin. You want the ball to roll like a putter.
As far as Eastlake, Scotty Scheffler leading the way at 21 under par. You've got a couple chasers in Colin Morikawa and Xander Schauffele. Morikawa's at 17 under. Xander Schauffele at 16 under. We got a couple other questions as far as teaching and President's Cup. John, real quick, do we need to wrap up? We still have a little more time in this segment here. Okay. On the other side, we will get to a couple questions. We've got a couple questions about guys on tour breaking their clubs. Is that if that's a new theme?
That's $25 million. the that big purse is changing a lot of attitudes.
Yeah. Here of the playoffs, the emotions have been hot. We'll get to more on the world of golf right here in the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, presented by Insperity HR that makes a difference.
Loaded, ready, rule.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Powered by Insperity.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Will Doctor and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps.
Hi, welcome back to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, presented by Insperity HR that makes a difference. Scotty Scheffler, a big favorite going into this weekend at Eastlake. He's a minus 350 favorite with a three-shot lead. Colin Morikawa at 17 under, four back. He's at plus 700 to win. And then world number two, Xander Schauffele in solo third at 16 under with a plus 550 odds to win this weekend. I don't see Scheffler giving up this lead. He's played – I know he hasn't won at Eastlake, but he's played solid at Eastlake over the years. Four shots, as we've seen, though, over the back end of this season, not that many when you look at, Rory's lead disappearing at the U.S. Open, when you look at Max Gracerman's lead disappearing at Sedgefield, Hideki Matsuyama almost did not get the job done in Memphis. So a lot of golf to play. Charlie, let's start this segment. Hearing about one more thing on Eastlake, Eastlake's a course that Rory McIlroy has dominated quite a bit over the years. He's won the tour championship three times. So, he gave us a good feel of what Andrew Green has done with this golf course and the changes that it's made. Here was McIlroy when asked, about the new Eastlake.
I love the restoration. I love the golf course. It's probably 6 months away from being perfect, just because of the firmness of the greens. But I've always liked Andrew Green's work. I like what he did at Congressional. I like what he did at Oak Hill. I like some of the other things. I haven't been there physically, but I've seen. I like that the ball repels off the greens. I like that it gives you options. I think a lot of these aprons, it really gives guys a chance to sort of shine and show how good their short games are, because you can play all sorts of different chips, and you can putt it, you can bump it, you can fly it and try to spin it. So I love that. I love that side of it. I think he's probably made it a little less penal off the tee just by clearing some of the trees, but then I think he's made it a little more penal around the green. So I think overall, I don't think the course plays that much differently apart from the par 5 14th. But I really like what he's done, and I like golf courses that sort of stretch out the playing areas and expand the playing areas a little bit. And I think he's done a great job.
How would you rate Rory's year so far, Charlie? A win at the Wells Fargo, a win at the Zurich Classic, but probably not up to his expectation as far as majors.
Well, one win is a team event.
Yeah.
His years is a C minus.
Yeah.
I mean, but his expectations and his want to win majors is too much. The great Jack Nicklaus had it perfectly said, don't make it more important than it really is. The tour championship is not that important to Rory.
Yeah.
But the Masters, the U.S. Open, the British, that's the pinnacle. And you can see these guys are really under pressure because of the purses and so on and so forth. Guys are throwing clubs. It's really unprofessional. You know they're getting fined, yeah. But you know that those nerves are at a peak,
yeah.
And they got to just relax. Take your time. You know, be like Lee Trevino. Lee Trevino was cool under pressure. He talked your ear off. You know, don't take it off on a club because, you know, that's probably a $20,000 fine, especially on television. Yeah. Unprofessional. So, but.
How long is it going to take? Because since the U.S. Open, since that tough loss, Charlie, the results have been inconsistent. Does that disappointing finish at the U.S. Open play factor?
Oh, well, heck yes. And it's going to play next year when it goes back to the U.S. Open. And those wounds are opened up again. And everybody, what bugged, for example, my student, that the next year you go and say, well, you played so bad. You know, the reporters ask questions over and over and over, and players get tired of that. And they just forget about it. I don't want to talk about it. Let's move on. Let's move on to the next case. Nicklaus was able to do that. These guys, you go back to Rory, you didn't win last year. You haven't won in 10 years. That's an incredible, you know, burden for his mental psyche to play golf in a casual and not put too much pressure on yourself.
Charlie, here's Victor on Twitter. Charlie, I've seen Rory McIlroy and Sam Burns both break drivers over the last 2 weeks. It's interesting to see players of this caliber break clubs. Did you see this kind of behavior on the golf course in professional golf as much 20 years ago as you do today?
Sure. Sure you do. I mean, and now it's even more prevalent because there's so many cameras on the yeah. golf course that they take pictures and it's social media and they get publicized. So no, that's you know, there have been guys like Tommy Bolt and the hotheads of the game, but the sports psychologists have tried to help the guys with that anger and turn that anger into a positive, not a negative.
That's what I'm amazed about is that, you know, guys like Rory and Sam Burns, they've made, you know, in Rory's case, hundreds of millions of dollars. In Burns' case, he's made over $20 million on the PGA Tour. With the resources, like mental coaches and, you know, everything else that the tour provides and that their incomes provide, it's amazing, you know, this late in the season, you know, to see that type of behavior, but it is competitive golf. It is a competitive
sport.
Well,
you'll see in all the major sports, certain guys have an anger within them that's hard to control.
Yeah.
And so when something bad happens, they get penalized in football, in baseball, they get thrown out of the game. They say the wrong thing to the umpire, yeah. You know, it's, you got to keep, stay on an even keel, and it's hard for a lot of people to do that.
Even Scheffler last week, you know, yeah. he has struggled a bit yes, the last 2 weeks.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
This is someone who we've seen play flawless over yeah. the last 2 years. Last week at Castle Pines was the first negative week he's had with the irons in over 2 years.
Yes.
So interesting to see him, you know, interesting to see Scheffler lose his emotions to some extent, but there's not a, you know, he reminds us so much of the Woods and the Spieths of the world to where, you know, Scheffler can kind of get mad for a split second, turn around the very next hole, and bounce back with a birdie.
Yeah, but, you know, you got to take it with a grain of salt.
Yeah.
And it's easier than it is, you know, to do that. It's controlling your emotions is a big challenge, and I speak of what I know.
Only one other player not named Tiger Woods has won seven or more times in a single season since 1983. That was Vijay Singh in 2004. He won nine. And our current world number one, Scheffler, I mean, he had a seven-shot lead at one point yesterday. I mean,
yes.
A seven-shot lead in the middle of the second round. That's got to be a rare feeling, and Scheffler spoke to the media about that after his round of 65 yesterday.
Well, you know, then you get into the discussion about other sports. Is it's like, I mean, the Cowboys have had great regular seasons the last few years, and have left me heartbroken in the playoffs. You know what I mean? But golf's a different sport, and that's there's so many different voices and ways that you can do it. I'm not sitting here saying that I have the crystal ball and I know what's best. All I can do is show up and compete, and I can give my input where it's necessary. Sometimes sitting up here, giving my input can get blown out of proportion. I think from now on, I'll probably do it behind closed doors, and because there is a balance between rewarding season-long excellence and having an opportunity for guys in the playoffs. I mean, I think it's I can't speak enough about the Keegan Bradley example. It's awesome that he now has put himself in a position where he can truly win the FedEx Cup. Like it's a cool system in that sense. So it goes a lot more in depth than just identifying the best player for the entire season. And in a lot of other major sports, you know, the best team doesn't always win. Like Golden State Warriors, best regular season ever, and they lose in the finals. It happens. I don't know if the FedEx Cup is the equivalent of our Super Bowl, but, you know, it's financially, I would say yes, but in terms of history in the game, maybe, maybe not. You'll have to ask the players. But at the end of the day, I want to win the golf tournament we're playing, and right now I have a 2-stroke lead, and that's pretty cool.
So, all right, Scotty, as always.
So Scheffler, that was Scheffler at the beginning of the week. That was him starting with the 2-shot lead. Now he has a 4-shot lead. He was up by as much as 7 yesterday. And after the round, you know, he just stressed, Charlie, about how important it is for him to stay in his own world out there, regardless of the lead size.
Easier said than done, but they're training to do that. And they have people that they go discuss this, and you get, you know, that positive self-talk. That's the most important thing I've learned from the great sports psychologists and all that, is how you talk to yourself internally. And he's got to calm himself down. It's just like the jockey riding that horse, and he's whispering in his ear, "Come on, baby, let's go." You know, he's not yelling at him. Come on, let's go. Let's go. Come on, pick it up. Let's go. We're going to get this guy. We're going to get, you know.
That's like you talking to your clubs, Charlie.
That's it.
Before
I've
a shot.
That's it. We all talk to the golf ball. Get out, get out, get out, get. You know, so it's
Colin Morikawa, great piece there, Charlie. Colin Morikawa shot a 63 yesterday. He talked about course management, and I want to ask you, Charlie, if, you know, do players have a number in mind before they go out there, or is it more of a strategy-based approach to the golf course? We'll talk about that on the other side. This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, presented by Insperity, HR that makes a difference, back after this.
This is ESPN 97.5. This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Powered by Insperity.
Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Will Docker and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps.
All right, wrapping up here on ESPN 97.5, this is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour by Insperity. And speaking of Insperity, Charlie, a lot of listeners, you have a lot of business owners who feel like the walls are closing in. They need help managing their HR, payroll, and other strategy. You have an answer for them.
Yes, I do. And it's only because Insperity is a company that has grown out of caring for people's well-being. And that's a philosophy that when you have a company that specializes in helping small businesses, they you got to put a good foot forward. You got to have that proper mindset. You got to have that vocabulary. The words are so important. And Insperity has caring words because they care for their customers, and they care that they be successful, and because it's their reputation. And so it's been incredible since 1986 to watch Insperity grow because of their leadership. And it's because of certain people with a vision that they want to help people grow their business. So if you have a small business and you want some help, or you want a different opinion, give Insperity a call. I don't care if you're a two-person business or you're 3,000. They have the expertise to help you along through difficult times.
Yeah, they do incredible work with small and mid-sized businesses. They have, you know, 30-plus years of experience, as you've talked about, week after week, helping you with your human resources from hiring and training to HR, admin, and compliance. So get on Insperity.com or give them a call. Our great John Belmer, the producer, also an Insperity employee. So the whole team is here. If you are a business owner that needs help in the HR setting, give them a call or visit Insperity.com. We continue as far as the world of golf is concerned. Scheffler's chaser going into the weekend, four shot back, is Colin Morikawa. Open with rounds of 66-63. Morikawa still winless this season, but a two-time major champion who put on a clinic yesterday. I mean, 8-under 63 with 9 birdies on the card. Just an incredible round. Here was the two-time major champion on his low round and the feeling of chasing Scheffler.
I mean, look, like I said, he's going to continue to make birdies. I mean, he's driving it really, really well here, and you're giving yourself enough wedges to kind of make some scoring opportunities out there. And for me, it's just, you know, bringing the energy and just kind of staying alive out there. And just, like I said, I've got a game plan that I've set out, and I'm really going to stick to that, you know, just knowing that, look, we've got 2 more rounds left of the season.
There's going to be a lot of highlights in a 63, but was there one moment that stood out, maybe the chip in? You seem pretty excited about that one.
Yeah, it was. I mean, I bogeyed 11. Just not a great bogey, especially after, you know, feeling pretty good just kind of through the round. And the chip in was nice, especially just having a little two-shot swing there with Scotty. And honestly, like, you know, even the last 3 holes coming out, you know, sometimes after a break like that, you don't lose rhythm, but you just lose kind of that energy. And it was nice to finish off with 2 birdies.
So, Charlie, when he says game plan, did these guys game plan with a certain number in mind, or is it more of a strategy, a way they're going to go about the golf course?
You know, there's a term or saying, you know, let the game come to you. You know, don't try to push it. Let's just get into a good rhythm, good mindset, take care of business on the first 3 holes, get your pre-shot routine going the same, get the feeling of the club in the right slot. Don't push it. It'll come. It'll come. And a lot of times a birdie on the first hole is not as good as, you know, the first round of the tournament. Scotty bogeyed the hole. So, you know, let it come. And then he got the momentum going. You know, he hit a couple good shots. Oh, I feel this. And now I got confidence. My machine is working slowly but surely.
In your 6 majors that you played in?
Yes.
Or in any of the Angel majors that you oversaw, well, start with you personally. Was there a number in mind? Did you have numbers in mind?
No, a number is what you put on a scorecard, yeah. And you can't put that on a scorecard until you finish the hole. I played the PGA Senior Championship at West Palm Beach, and I tripled the first hole. I didn't put that on my scorecard because if it wasn't on my scorecard, mentally, it means I didn't make it.
Wow.
So I said, I'll go to the next hole. I didn't put down a score the whole day. I finally, when I got to the scorer's tent, I put every score down with my caddy.
You took score out of the equation.
Scores. It's not a game of scoring. It's a game of execution. One shot at a time. Get your good target. Get the momentum going. Get your eyes in the game. You know, it's a visual game. You got to visualize, feel, and execute. Watch what this grass is telling you, what you can do and what you can't do.
2007 U.S. Open, 2009 Masters.
Yes.
Those were the 2 majors that Angel Cabrera won. Did he have a number in mind going into those final rounds? Did he say, Charlie, 68 is going to be the number today?
No, not really. All he knew, and this was an interesting situation, on Sunday he bogeyed the 10th hole.
At Augusta or Oakmont?
At Augusta.
At Augusta. 2009 Augusta.
And so I was really interested to see what he was thinking after making bogey, what he was thinking about when he went to the 11th tee. And he says, it's just 3 birdies. If I make 3 birdies, I'm going to be all right. I'm going to get to 12 under. So that, to me, is really the instincts of players of, you know, playing Augusta as many times that, you know, 12 under is going to win a lot of Masters. And all he had to do didn't make any difference. If he made a bogey, he's just got to make three birdies coming in, and he did that.
And the feeling of bogeying 10 at Augusta, it's much different than everywhere else. We've seen a lot of Snedeker, Rory in 2010 make a mess of the 10th.
Yeah.
And I don't think a lot of fans understand just the journey that back nine at Augusta is. I mean, yeah. It just doesn't get any easier.
Well, the dynamics of the 10th tee is you can't see the fairway.
Yeah.
So you got to have that imagination, right? Yes, and you got to have the imagination to turn it, or what club you're going to have. Ankel hit a 3-iron off of there and hit a duck hook and let the heel take it down. That's knowing the golf course.
Yeah, incredible. You think Scheffler? You know, to close us out here, do you think Scheffler gets it done this week? And he's got a 4-shot lead right now, 21 under par. Do you think he goes on and wins his 7th PGA Tour win of the season?
He's going to have to play flawlessly.
Yeah. Wow.
He's going to – those guys behind him
– they're going to catch him, huh, by Sunday?
We don't know, but he's going to – you know, it's not over till it's over.
How tough is it going to be for him? I mean, blocking out the amount of holes left, you know, having this kind of lead – as a player, do you just want to get to the finish line?
He's won so much already as a young professional, and this year he's won 6 tournaments. He's won the majors. He's won the Players' Championship. What he did at the Olympics is just still mind-boggling. Yeah. What he shot there, 62 on the last day, and played that golf course that well. And so he's got the formula. He just got to execute.
Charlie, great job today. John Bellmer behind the ones and twos. I appreciate you. John Bellmer got to the studio in incredible timing. We appreciate it. We'll see you next weekend here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour.